Are you going to be teaching kindergarten next year for the first time, or do you know someone who is? Teaching kindergarten for the first time can be overwhelming, and maybe you're feeling unsure of where to start. Well, look no further. I have the Ultimate Survival Guide for New Kindergarten Teachers. I created it based on all the things that you need to rock teaching kindergarten next year. All the things I wish I had known as a brand new kindergarten teacher. Get your mindset ready to tackle the challenges of kindergarten, learn how to set up your classroom for success, and master key strategies for teaching effectively. Plus, prepare for the first week of school like a pro. Don't miss out on this free guide, and please share it with your new teammates and friends who are moving to kindergarten next year. Get ready to embark on an incredible journey in kindergarten education with me as your virtual teammate cheering you on. Download the free guide today at www.kindergartencafe.org/new-teacher. That's kindergartencafe.org/new-teacher. Welcome to the kindergarten team. Hello and welcome to the Kindergarten Cafe podcast. I'm Zeba, and I'm very excited to talk to you today about my all-time favorite unit, not just science unit, the chick life cycle unit. I honestly love this unit so much as a teacher. I love how much the kids love it. And I remember fondly loving this unit as a kindergartner myself. I still think about that time. Don't remember much from kindergarten, but I absolutely remember the chick unit. So let's dive in. You're listening to the Kindergarten Cafe podcast, where kindergarten teachers come to learn classroom-tested tips and tricks and teaching ideas they can use in their classroom right away. I'm Zeba, creator and founder of Kindergarten Cafe, and I help kindergarten teachers with everything they need from arrival to dismissal in order to save time, work smarter, not harder, and support students with engaging and purposeful lessons. I'm here to cheer you on through your successes and breakthroughs and offer support and resources so you never have to feel stuck or alone. Ready to start saving time and reducing your stress, all while using effective and purposeful lessons that students love? Let's get started. We start our chick unit usually around the end of April, but you can do it anytime. And we get eggs from a local farm that is willing to lend us the chicks. So we get them as eggs and we put them in an incubator and we wait and keep them warm and humidified, moist, if you will, and watch as they grow and hatch and then become little chicks. And then we keep them for just a week in my school and then return them to the farm. I do remember as a kid when health and safety regulations were a lot less strict. Board of Health regulations were less strict. We had the chicks for like a month, probably. Like they started getting like real feathers and we ended up getting to take them home. Like we got to take turns to take them home and we signed up. And I just vividly remember having to, you know, close the door for like our mudroom so that the dog wouldn't come in and eat the chicks. And that we got to have, you know, the chicks at home. So we don't do that anymore in my school, but maybe some schools still can. But it is a great partnership because this is, as I said, the kids' favorite unit, my favorite unit. And then, you know, the farm gets the chicks back when they're alive. And isn't that great? So when we first get the eggs for the chick unit, we have the incubator all set up. As I've mentioned before, I think it's in some science podcasts or blog posts, I like to surprise the kids and not really tell them what's happening and see what their curiosities and investigations can spark. But with this unit, I have to set up the incubator ahead of time, so it's kind of obvious as to what's happening. So before we even get the eggs, we talk about what the incubator is and how it helps the eggs, the eggs to grow. And then we put the eggs in the incubator and kids get a chance to really look at the eggs and how they're all different colors, but they're all pretty much the same shape, size, all of that stuff. And of course, we do other investigations into other eggs. We learn about oviparous animals, which means egg-laying animals. And I love bringing in some other egg examples from nature. I have some bluebird eggs, I think it is, or even someone gave me, I think, an ostrich egg. I think that's what it is. I'll have to double check before I teach the unit again. But just showing like the different examples of real eggs out there, and they don't all have a hard shell. They're not all the same, you know, shape and size. So there's a lot of good books for that. But my favorite book is An Egg is Quiet, and it showcases all the different kinds of eggs. So when we first get eggs, we dive deep into oviparous animals and how eggs protect growing babies and how that's part of the life cycle, and that not all animals grow up in an egg outside of the body. That's called oviparous, all that stuff. And then we talk sort of about like what's going on inside of the egg. So we'll do some labeling of the different parts of the egg. Some of the important parts are the albumen. That's sort of the white yolk, if you will, the white part of the egg. And then you have the chalaza, which is the sort of like, it's sort of described as like a seatbelt. It's kind of holding the yolk in place inside of the egg. It's kind of like a little string. Then you have the yolk, which is the yellow part. And then you have the germinal disc. And that is what the chick starts out as. And then it grows into an embryo inside of the yolk and or next to the yolk. And the yolk is there as the food for the growing chick. And so as it's growing, it's absorbing some of the nutrients from the yolk. The yolk is getting smaller and the embryo is getting bigger. And the albumen, the white part, acts as more of like a pillow cushion to protect the growing embryo inside of the egg in case it moves. And the chalaza helps hold it in place so that it doesn't slam into the sides of the shell. So we talk a lot about the purpose behind each part of the egg. And then, you know, the kids get a chance to label the parts of the eggs. And I have really cool visuals for what's happening inside the egg and how it's changing over the course of the 21 days that the egg is developing into the baby chick where it starts to hatch. And so you can get these visuals from my chick life cycle journal, but it really helps showcase the progress and the development. There's also really cool YouTube videos and things that you can find online because people have made almost like an invisible shell so that you can see inside the embryo and the yolk and the baby chick and just literally watch it grow. Although I don't know if it's a baby chick or if it's like a baby duck, but it's still the same idea that you can see exactly how it's growing from this little tiny germinal disc into a fully fledged baby chick. And so those are really cool visuals to bring in as well. The other thing that you can do with your eggs, and I like to do twice in the 21 days, is candle the eggs. So you can get a specific candler, but you can also just use a really bright flashlight. And basically, you want it to be as dark as you can get, and you hold the candler or the flashlight up to the egg, and you let the kids see inside the egg. And I do this in small groups, and I, like I said, I do this twice a cycle because it's a great conversation about how not all the eggs are going to become chicks. And if you don't preview that with your students, they will be very disappointed. They need to know that chickens lay all these eggs in hopes that some of them will become chicks and that not all of them have a baby chick growing inside. And so we candle them to get a good estimate for which eggs will have a chick growing. And some of the signs that we're looking for, you can see the eyes pretty clearly. So it looks like a big black dot floating in there. You can showcase the chalaza and you can see some veins growing inside of the yolk, which, you know, hopefully means that there's nutrients being flowing to the baby chick. But if it's not really dark or if it's early in the stage or it's a really dark shell, I think it's the dark shells. Some of the shells are easier to see in than others. And sometimes it's really hard to see if something's growing, but you're looking for something like moving around. You're looking for a little eyeball. And yeah, the darker it is inside the room, the easier it is to see what's going on inside. But it's a good estimation of like which eggs will have something growing. And even if, let's say you have, you know, we usually get 12 eggs. Let's say 10 of them have something that looks like maybe an embryo. It still doesn't mean all 10 will become baby chicks. So it's a good chance to preview that with your students. And another tip I have about candling is to have like a towel or something that will keep the eggs warm because you don't want them to cool down too much. And to just take like three or four at a time for each group. That's another reason why I do it in small groups. because you do want to get a good sense for how many chicks are, do you think, are in your batch. And you also want to temper expectations, but you don't want to take them all out at once because that could harm the chicks. So I just take out 3 or 4 at a time, put them in my little towel to keep them safe and warm, and then I put them back as soon as possible. But you don't want to keep like opening and closing the incubator as much. So just try and do it in small groups like that. And then when you're done, watch the humidity levels carefully because you need to keep it at a certain humidity level. I don't know off the top of my head. I got it wrong last year and I had it very high, but luckily I was able to correct it before any damage happened. So make sure you check the humidity level required for your incubator and, you know, just do drop in some water as needed and not too much, not too little. Yeah, you get the point. Anyway, so after the eggs have been growing in the incubator for 21 days, you can start to see them hatching, which is really, really exciting. And for this day that you know, because you generally know they're going to hatch on the 21st day, plan to not be doing very much with your students because they are going to be so distracted and so excited about the hatching and checking for when new eggs, you know, hatch and everything like that. And so you're going to want to make sure they have time to look and that they're not all crowding around it. So maybe give chances for small groups to come up or have some way to put up like a cameras to show what's happening, something like that. In case you're new to growing chicks, this might be your first year. Just a couple of tips. So you want to wait for the chicks in the incubator to be less wet, to be a little fluffy, and that's when they're ready to come out. You want to leave some water in the incubator in a little bowl and a little thing of food for them for when they first hatch, although they will eat some of their egg remnants, I guess, when they first hatch. Just because they'll be in there drying out, you want to have a little water. But that water will evaporate eventually, so just keep an eye on it. And the chicks will hatch at different times. So you might take a couple out at a time when they're a little fluffy, and you'll want to have a brooder ready to go. So what I mean by a brooder is a box that you can put them in where they're not going to jump out when they get a little older. I like to use a clear plastic bin because then the kids can see through it. But I've also used like paper boxes and things. You use what you have. And then you want a warming light, which is really just a lamp. But you can get specific warming lights for the chicks. And that way it keeps the chicks warm when they come out and as they're growing that first week or so. And you can have it prepared with lined with lots of newspapers, lots and lots of newspapers, because it's best if you can just take one layer of newspaper away each time you clean it, as opposed to having like to take them all out and place new newspaper in. So it's better to preemptively put a ton of newspaper in and then take a layer away each time. And you'll want a little tray for food, a little tray for water. I like to put little like marbles in there so they have something to kind of stand on while they're drinking water. I don't know how necessary that is, but that's kind of what I've always done based on my other teachers in my team. So, and then, as I said, they'll be hatching at different times and some will hatch sooner. Some will hatch, take longer to hatch. You will have times where a chick is starting to hatch and they're starting to peck their way through. And then it takes a very, very long time and they end up dying in that process. The lesson that I've learned is do not help them out of the shell. If they were not able to hatch themselves, then there's a reason for that and they're not going to be able to survive outside the shell. So there was one time where our custodian raises chicks and hens and stuff. And so I asked them for help and they were like, well, I shouldn't really help them out of the shell, but okay. And sure enough, it should not have been hatched and we had to get rid of him and it was very hard to watch. So my recommendation is do not help them hatch. If they are able to hatch, great. And if not, let them be. It's part of the process of hatching. And, you know, like we talked about with the kids, not all the chicks become grown up baby chicks. But you may still have chicks hatching like a day or two after all the other chicks have hatched and just be, you know, continually checking. After like 2 or 3 days of definitely no movement in the incubator, I dispose of the eggs that were not hatched and clean the whole incubator. So that's sort of how long I give it because you just never know. I've had chicks hatch after 2 or 3 days. So just keep an eye on those little guys that haven't hatched when the other ones did. So after all the chicks come out of the incubator and they're in the brooder, the little home, The kids are obviously obsessed with looking at them. So make sure, you know, however long you have them in your classroom as chicks, you have a process for letting them observe them. If you're able to, letting them pet them and hold them, it totally depends, you know, on what's allowed, because they're going to be excited. They're not going to be wanting to do many other things. And definitely keep it into small groups when you're doing this. One of the things I love to do is have the kids help me build sort of a wall with blocks, our playing blocks, and then we lay paper towels on the rug. And then we put baby chicks, not all of them, but just some, into the middle of the rug and let all the kids sit in a circle. And they really observe what's happening with the chicks, observe them drinking water, observe them walking around. Make sure your wall of blocks is high enough that they can't just hop on out, because that will happen. It's definitely happened to me. But they love having the opportunity to observe and really watch the chicks as much as possible. And I like to include opportunities for them to write and draw exactly what they're seeing. They like to name the chicks too, and they like to share sort of like the chick names and the, you know, colors of the chicks. So I let the kids take pictures of the chicks and share it with their family on Seesaw to let them know the new chicks that have hatched. It's a very big, exciting week. And then you want to prepare kids for when the chicks are being taken away again, taken back to the farm. They will feel very sad. They will feel, you know, very sad that they're leaving. So some things that I do is prepare them ahead of time that they're leaving on Friday, and that they can make cards for the chicks to take with them to go to the farm. And I'll let them know the name of the farm and say, you can go visit them, even though I don't actually know if that's true. But we've changed farms a couple of times, and there definitely was a farm that you could go visit. So I just say, yeah, you can go visit them, it's fine. And then, you know, no one does. They forget about it. But it's still, you know, a sad thing that they get so attached to these cute little baby chicks and then they're leaving. So be prepared for that, and give sort of a transitional time for them to say goodbye and all of that. So that is my whole chick unit. It is 21 days plus 1 week for us with the chicks. And it is my favorite all-time time of year unit that I remember as a kid. And I remember as a teacher that my students come and talk to me, like the fifth graders, when they're graduating, they'll always come back and they'll say, hey, remember we had the chicks? That was the best. That was my favorite, whatever. And it really, the whole school gets so excited when they're hatching. They all come, everyone comes to visit. It's very, very exciting. Not everyone likes the chick unit. If you don't like birds, I have some coworkers that it's not their favorite unit. By the end of the week, I am ready for them to go back to the farm, because it is a lot of work keeping all these little things alive, in addition to keeping all your students alive and educated and all of that teaching involves. So, you know, it's a lot of extra work checking on them, making sure they're fed and have water and, you know, cleaned brooder and everything's fine. So, you know, when it's time to go back to the farm, I'm okay with it. But I am very excited every year when the next opportunity comes to have baby chicks again. So the quote of the day is, after the chicks hatched, a girl said, I'm just going to cry out of happiness. Fireworks are going to explode out of my head. I think that correctly portrays exactly how everyone feels when the chicks are hatching. So yeah, that is a chick unit, my favorite unit. And if you are listening and you've listened to the whole thing, send me the code word chicks on Instagram as a DM and let me know that you've been listening to the podcast episode. Let me know if you are hatching chicks this year, if you already did. I would love to know what your favorite part is. So thanks so much. Thanks so much for listening to the Kindergarten Cafe podcast. Be sure to check out the show notes for more information and resources, or just head straight to kindergartencafe.org for all the goodies. If you liked this episode, the best ways to show your support are to subscribe, leave a review, or send it to a friend. I'll be back next week with even more kindergarten tips. See you then.